The brain is ideal. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capo, California, with a thought for today. The brain is ideal. We are told that our body is fragile. We are told that our body is limited to so many years of a life span. Our body does not go on forever. And yet, we know that it does. We know that life is immortal. We know that things are immortal and our body is immortal. But we have treated our body all of our life as though it is temporary. And because we have treated our body as though it is temporary, we have felt that our body is not ideal. And we have felt that the brain is not ideal. Now, the brain is the center of the activity of our work and our thinking and our revealing to ourselves just who and what we are. The brain does all these things. But the brain does no more than take the input we give it from the world around us and act upon it. If we were to go into the brain, if we were to go into our inner being, if we were to be still and listen to our inner self, we would be quite surprised, because in us is all. In us is the wisdom of all, the ideal intelligence of all. In us is everything. But we have put a cap on our brain. We have put a cap on the wisdom of all, and we have said that it is not ideal. But truly, the brain is ideal. Science wants to go back into the brain and discuss things like the metabolism of foods and how we react to life and how we think about life. And scientists are coming to a conclusion that is quite interesting. They're saying the brain is really pretty smart. It tends to want to reboot to factory settings whenever it can. And that means every time it can. We find that we can reset things for a week or two physiologically, but then it goes back to its original settings. Now, what are the original settings? The original settings are not what we think they are. The original settings are not the settings that we are born with, the settings that we are created with, but they're the settings that the race consciousness, the world attitude, has developed all over time. And we've had the mystification that it's the lack of our intense inner willpower. Or, for instance, our body is imperfect because we eat the wrong foods. Science is coming to realization that these things are just not so. For science can, with their electric probes and their pills and their various other aspects of changing nature, they can cause the body to react in a different way. They can cause the body to respond without the need of a lot of different foods, with just certain substances to maintain its substance, its existence. They can use pills and so forth, and they can have the body act in a very normal, beautiful way. Now, they've found that the misconceptions that man has, the misconceptions that we believe that we're eating the wrong things or doing the wrong things or thinking the wrong things or so forth, that these are our reality. Now, if this is a statement that thinking the wrong things is our reality, thinking the right things should be our reality too. Nature has a way of taking care of things pretty nicely. When we return to our original purity and integrity, by choice, we don't have any idea what that original purity and integrity is. If we did, we'd rush to it. But we have no idea what our original purity and integrity is. And because we have no idea, because we have no confidence in the fact of what it may really be, we do not encourage ourselves to think in that way. Oh, we have these Think and Grow Rich programs, we have these changing your attitudes and changing your way of being and so forth, but we don't really believe it. For if we did believe it, we would work on it very diligently. We would work on it with all our heart and soul and being, but we don't believe it. We don't believe that we can change our life by changing our thought. We don't believe that we can change our world by changing the way we look at the world. Now, there's a lot of concepts that go on saying that it's willpower. We have to make ourselves believe something different. It's making ourselves do something that has to be done. No. Truly, the most successful beings in any activity at all, whether it's the activity of a super body, the activity of a super mind, the activity of anything at all, it all boils down to personal integrity and incitement. Personal integrity and excitement about what it is that makes you happy, what it is that delights you, what it is that lifts you into a high state of consciousness, what it is that brings you back to being aware that life is great, life is wonderful. We always refer to the children at play in their play box without any worries in the world, without any thoughts, and we all think about the statement, we must become as little children. Yes, these things are very true, but it's not a matter of becoming a little child. It's not a matter of being without problems, being without things. It's a matter of knowing that all is in divine order. Knowing that as we turn our attention to the mechanism of the brain, for instance, and we say the brain is operating ideally right now, how do we know what ideal means? How do we know what ideal expects of us? How do we know what ideal reveals of us? It's sort of an interesting concept, isn't it? What does ideal mean to us? What is our original purity and integrity? What does that mean to us? Well, we can fight and we can make affirmations and we can make statements of truth and we can worry these things, but we don't believe it. A little child does not think about that. A little child does not worry about that. He does not concern himself with that. He just lives a happy, wonderful life. He lives in his inner self. He lives in his content, happy self. He's not concerned with how to be happy. He's not concerned with how to find that inner self. He just goes there. Now, we have that same capacity. But we tell our children, and we tell our young people, and we tell our young adults, they shouldn't be dreamers. They shouldn't be drifting off into the la-la land. They shouldn't be going away from reality. They shouldn't be going away from the everyday experiences that they must face, that they must be aware of, that they must accept as challenges and accept as unhappy. And yet, the doctor saying to the patient, as the doctor holds the patient's hand, and the doctor says, "There, there, that's okay now. Just relax. Just be peaceful. Let go. Let go. Deep breath, let go. And let the body do its normal thing. Let the mind return to its original purity and integrity. Let yourself go into your divine state. Let yourself go. As the scientists tell us, the brain is pretty smart. It tends to want to reboot the factory settings whenever it can. Yes. The brain wants to reboot to the factory settings. The body wants to reboot to factory settings. What are the factory settings? Back to our original purity and integrity. Our factory settings are back to our original purity and integrity. And when we realize that that's where we're resetting ourselves for, then we're not complaining. We think to ourselves, "Oh, I am intelligent, I'm learning a lot, I'm doing great." And then we have a little difficulty that comes along and shakes our boat, and we doubt ourselves. And the moment we doubt ourselves, we are destroying our return to our factory settings. The moment we doubt ourselves, we are causing ourselves to believe that what we are doing, what we are seeking, what we are looking for and at is not our reality. Ask yourself, if you will, is happiness your reality? Is joy your reality? Is peace your reality? Is goodness your reality? Is contentment your reality? Is harmony your reality? Is love your reality? Is unconditional love your reality? Now, some people will say, "No, those things are not my reality. Those are wishful thinking. Those things are things that are beyond my capacity to enjoy, to know, and to experience, and to be. It's just beyond me." And as we say that, then we give up on our being happy. We give up on our being humble. We give up on our being harmonious. We give up. And why do we give up? We give up because it's so easy to slide into the trough of lack, limitation, unhappiness. It's so easy to slide into it because it's a well-greased path. But as I look at happiness, there's no place for unhappiness. As I look at joy and peace and harmony, there's just no place for its contrary. There's no place for it. And I feel that that's wrong, because the world is made up of duality. The world is made up of positive and negatives. The world is made up of happiness and sadness. This is what I believe. This is what I have known to believe. This is what comes to me constantly. The world is made up of all these things, of all these most interesting things. But is it true? Is it true? Happiness is always there. Sadness comes and goes. Joy is always there. The lack of joy comes and goes. These things that come and go, they are not our reality. They are not who we really are. They are not the essence of our being. The essence of our being is who we really are. Who we really are is what our brain wants to reboot to its factory settings. Our computer tells us that. We design our computer. Where is the design of our computer from? Where does it come from? It comes from our brain. It comes from our thinking system. And in the creation of the computer, man has put the elements of his own being. And when a computer is shut off, it returns to its original settings. And many of the error activities that have disturbed the computer fall back into rebooting as the computer goes to sleep and rests. As we take a breath, as we rest and let go, as we return to our original purity and integrity, as we reboot, as we reboot ourselves, we do that when we go to sleep at night. Oh, we're very busy, just like our computer when it is asleep and turned off. It's very busy. It's returning to its original purity and integrity. It's returning, it's rebooting itself to the program that it had been established to do. Our bodies, our mind, our brain reboots itself to what it's supposed to do. And it's always trying to go back to its original purity and integrity. It's always trying to go back to who it is and what it is and how it is. It's always trying to go back to that. Now, how successful is it? How successful is our brain in going back to its original purity? Do we allow it to do that? Or do we take our memory and do we say, oh, no, no, these are what we have learned. This is what I have understood. This is the truth that I have come to know. What is a book? A book is someone else's opinion of what they experienced or would like to experience or are creating for themselves to experience. Now, a book is merely one other person's point of view. What happened before the first book? What happened before man wrote down the first book? Well, apparently he had to live what he believed. He had to live the concepts that he knew. Now, did he go by that inner self? Did he go by that inner awareness? Did he go by that intuitive understanding of himself? Did he, with childlike freedom and openness, return to that which is its game of reality? You can be sure it did. If we had the capacity to understand the early man, if we had the capacity to understand the prehistoric person, if we had the ability to understand how they thought and how they acted and how they responded to their world, we think of them as being very busy just existing, very busy just finding food, and very busy just making a place for themselves in the world. We think of them being very busy in that. I had to turn off my computer. I had to turn off my recorder here because my computer had been in a sleep mode. And my computer awakened itself. It awakened itself to return to the programs that it had in itself. And in itself was a program of a movie that was there, and so it was going to replay it. It was going to reboot it, and it rebooted it and started the program going. Now, this happened because I had not completely shut off the computer and put it to sleep. I merely put it to sleep temporarily. I merely put it in hold rather than in sleep, rather than in turning it off. And the moment I turned it off, everything became quiet. Everything became silent. Everything became peaceful. Now, the original man, the early man, had to find food. He had to take care of himself. He had to do something all day long besides finding food and preparing food. He had to do all sorts of things, but he had to do nothing. He did as a little child would do, just doing what comes naturally. It was his choice to eat, so he would go to the apple tree and get an apple, or he would go to the nut tree and get nuts, or he would do whatever happened to be there. Now, early man did not need a lot of food because his body had not learned to want a lot of food. He just gave it whatever happened to be there, whatever happened to satisfy it, and his body grew strong, his body grew long, and he lived long, many, many years because he had very few things that were disturbing to him. Now you say, well, what about the wild animals? Well, in the early days, if man were worried about the wild animals, you could be sure that the wild animals would come and eat him up. But man was not worried about the wild animals. He's like the innocence of a child. He would deal with the wild animals like Daniel in the lion's den, dealing with the animals in a loving, unconditionally loving attitude. And the animals would respond to him in an unconditionally loving attitude. Oh, there's a few people who come along and get upset with himself and get after the animals and cause the animals to act in a contrary way. And because of this, one or two animals did terrible things as far as man is concerned and ate him up. And so man became frightened of the animals and leery of the animals because somebody misused the relationship. They misused the relationship of Daniel in the lion's den. They misused the relationship of children with animals and children with pets. We say a child sometimes is mauled by an animal. Why? Because the worry of the parents has gotten instilled in the child, or watching things on television, or the child had fear. Now, why does a child ever have fear? The fear is put in as a memory. The fear is put in for something on the outside. The fear is put in that its parent won't be there to take care of them. Its fear is that the parent is angry with them, and the parent could only be angry with them mentally, not even physically, and the child would sense that, and would sense that lack of trust, that lack of belonging. These things that we have built into our consciousness over millennia of time, infinite periods of time. They are troublesome things that have taken our brain into the wrong direction, into directions of inability to be at peace, to be unconditionally loving, the inability to do these things. Now, can we return to our original purity and integrity? Can the child regain the peace of heart, the trust, the innocence that it once had? And the answer is definitely yes. How? When the child lives as though it were at peace. Why is it that an idiot and a child are things that people do not try to hurt? Ordinarily, people go around trying to take over other people's property or take over other people's world, and they don't try to do anything to the child or to an idiot. They know that the idiot does not have any attitude of fear. The idiot does not know, does not the capacity for being unhappy. The idiot does not have the capacity for these things. It only has the capacity for its original purity and integrity. You say, well, why can't it have a sound mind at the same time? Well, what do we consider a sound mind? We consider a sound mind one that knows how to take care of itself, one that knows how to worry, one that knows how to look at things that could be difficult and handle them in some way. The idiot doesn't do that. The idiot is just one big smile. The child is one big smile. People who are innocent are one big smile. Perhaps that's the key. Perhaps that's the key to returning to our original purity and integrity, is to return to our innocence. To be innocent of any thought that anyone could harm us or take from us or in any way misuse us. The innocence is that we are so beyond any concept where something disadvantageous to us could ever take place. When we are at such a point, when we are at such an awareness, when we are at such an understanding, we come to the realization that there is a way to return to our original purity and integrity. And the way is through innocence. The way is to letting go of all memories and live in the now. Live in this moment now alone. And as I live in this moment now alone, I find for myself all that is good and beautiful. As I live in this moment now alone, I live in my innocence. I live in my original purity and integrity. And perhaps this is the key. Not only perhaps, this is the key that opens the door to our reality, to our goodness, to our wholeness, to our allness. Now and forevermore. How wonderful that is. How wonderful that is, and how great it is now and forevermore. Join me in this awareness. And as you join me in this awareness, you come to the concept that all is good and beautiful. You come to the concept that we do not have a past. We do not have a future. We are like the early man born on earth, without a past or a future, living only in the now, in the ideal present tense. And living in this ideal present tense now, it is fulfilling all its dreams. And it lives in the most absolute innocent one could ever imagine. I love you. I love you. I love you.